They're making their way out. Shoot, Parker's going. Oh, yeah, he's ready. Hey, there we go. So, man, thank you guys for coming. My name's Daniel. So this is a part two. We're going to, so we did a interesting sermon on discipline, like three-ish to nine-year-olds. So this is a part two. So if you didn't listen, I would love for you to. It's an interesting subject, and some of you guys are like so encouraging to me, because some of y'all like sent it to friends and family and like told me some testimony stuff already, which was really neat. And so I'm just going to go under the assumption that you're good with part one. We're going to go with part two, okay? Just imagine with me, if you could, like a mountain road, like fresh blacktop, curvy road, and you're driving, and if you're a guy, you probably have got it picked out, the car, right? Like the car, you're going through the mountains, you're executing every turn perfectly, just the right amount of friction and rubbers keeping you on the road, you're sliding through the turns, you're making everything perfect, the road is clear, and then jumping across the road is a herd of stallions. And then you dodge through those and you make it. You're the hero. And then the stallions come from the other direction. And then you're going around that bend. And then comes a double barrel loop. And you go completely upside down through one and then banking in the next turn. And you go through the next loop. And then those stallions show up again. And then you got to deal with those. So you're going around the horses, but you make it. And everyone's good. And then you climb to the top of the mountain. And you're flying down. And then you crash into a wall. And we do it again. So, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that's how me and my kids played. Hot Wheels and My Little Ponies, baby. That's what we did. And we had a blast creating tracks and little, I didn't even know, like, you know, I didn't have any sisters. I didn't know the plastic horse thing. Pink, the tail, the mane, all the accessories. I didn't know how important that was. Yeah. And My Little Ponies and Hot Wheels, they had to get along in our house. So we made the best tracks, and we had the most fun, and that's just where we played, and we lived there. So I'm just going to talk about something. This is interesting to me, right? When you talk about raising kids, and you know, that's even where I started with the part one of this, is discipline, right? Can I tell you guys just real honestly, the percentage of raising my kids in the discipline category, like I kind of like made up percentages bug me, but I really feel like it's like 1 or 2% or something, or maybe even less than that, right? Like, we went through that discipline thing that I talked about very intentionally, and that was a big part of how we raised our kids. But I promise you, like, especially if you measure it by time, that was a very, very, very small percentage of how me and Jen spend our time with our kids, okay? So I'm going to talk about the other part of this verse a little bit, right? We talked a lot about discipline. Just for time's sake, forgive me. So we're in Ephesians, right at the tail end of this, verse 4. What I want to focus on today, but raise them up in loving discipline, right? So that's what we talked about, loving discipline. What that looks like, right? We're real specific, talking about swats or spanking and then hearing God and like the whole way through, right? We talked a whole lot about that. Loving discipline. There's a whole lot more in this verse. Today, what I want to focus on is that and counsel, okay? That's what I want to focus on, all right? It's both. Relationships and results, that's just how my mind thinks. I don't know if I'll ever get away from this, but being a parent's tough. Like, it really is. And circumstances and parents on different schedule and just trying to pay for life and somehow keep kids from getting hurt and navigating this world. And then, you know, the internet shows up and the world's connected and goodness, like ideas and values and who believes what, all that's out there. And I just kind of want to talk about me and Jen's, how we've navigated it practically in this relationship part. And there's just lots of things that I'm going to kind of be a little scattered today and tell a few different stories. And here's the thing. This is a business thing. There is this guy that he has some really neat business ideas, but he's an introvert. And like definition introvert, like if the crowd's more than one, he gets nervous, right? Which I relate to a little bit, honestly. And honestly, I think it was a gift from God. He has this amazing business mind, and he has a belief inside of him that he really wanted to give to the world. Well, he knew the only way his idea was going to get out there is if he started public speaking about stuff. Well, I don't know if you guys have ever done public speaking. You have to practice at it. You have to think about it. For most people, it's like one of their top five biggest fears. You know, like it's a thing for most people, just the average person. But if you feel like the only way this thing inside you is going to come out is through public speaking, boy, it'll scare you spitless. And if you're an introvert, it's even worse. So he started public speaking, and he wanted to get better at it. And his first couple of public speaking things did not go well. But he knew he wanted to get better. So what he did was he started asking people, which was really wise, for feedback. And he would ask people for feedback, and a really interesting happened. It was terrible. It didn't help him at all. So he would give a talk, and he knew it wasn't good, and then he would ask the room of like 20, like individually go to each person and beg them, can any feedback? Could you write it down on a comment card? Could you tell me? Could you? Everyone's like, you know, it's okay. Yeah. Didn't help him. And then he made one small, subtle little change, is he stopped asking for feedback, and he said, hey, do you have any advice for me? And all of a sudden, almost everyone that he asked would sincerely give him one piece of advice, something he could do better, or an idea. Going back to that verse, just real quick, loving discipline and counsel. You know, if you go into word study and you know, all the stuff is interesting, but just in English, you can replace counsel with advice most of the time. So with our kids, asking for advice, if you want to think of it that way, right? That's how I'm thinking about it. And it's really kind of interesting, isn't it? So how does this look like? Me and Jen made a decision real, like pre-children, even when we just started, honestly, even pre-marriage, I would say, when you were talking about, do you want kids? What do you think about kids? Like, you know, that those conversations before you even get married. And something me and her both just, it was absolutely God's idea. that we were on different pages and different areas for different reasons, and we got there and fought and battles and came together and communication and all the stuff that's part of being married, right? And that's okay. But when it came to this, like, we had this down, is we knew that it was absolutely incredibly important that the advice that our kids get is going to be good advice. Like, it was going to be good advice. So what they get from me and Jen was going to be super intentional, and what they get from anything outside me and Jen that we could control or have an influence on was going to be super intentional. So what does that look like? You guys, you know, in fact, some parents have even made fun of me and Jen for this. Our kids, and if you do this, that's okay. This is just what we thought we were supposed to do with our kids, right? I've heard just as many good testimonies about the opposite of this, but this is just for us. Our kids, we don't spend the night anywhere, like, ever. Like, friends sleep over, going to other people's houses, letting our kids experience a staying up too late, like that stuff. Me and Jen just really felt strongly that that shouldn't be part of, and it doesn't have anything to do with, what, you guys don't trust anyone? Anyone with your kids? It was like, man, it wasn't a trust thing. It was, we just knew it was so important that the advice our kids were hearing, and that could be from whatever movie they're watching late at night, whatever, like, we just knew that during those critical, remember, I'm talking about, like, this 3 to 9-year-old phase, right? It's crazy important. And then also, right, my dad, there is some interesting things that happen in this world during that age, right? And not all of it's good. So when it came to the advice, so me and Jen just believed that it really, really matters what advice your kids are getting. And that could be, in today's world, advice is coming from screens. It's coming from coaches, it's coming from teachers, it's coming from all kinds of different ways, right? So I really care about all of those things. I want to know. Because you know what my goal is? Like, my number one goal, right, with my kids is I want them to have a relationship with God and look to Him for every answer, every time they're in pain, every time there's a fear, every time they have a good idea, every time that something comes up, that's where I want them to go. So it's so critical that every influence that I get a say in points them towards the Father. And if something doesn't point them towards the Father, it, for the most part, until I feel like my kids have this relationship solid and they can view those things outside of that through that lens, I'm super careful about it. Okay? All right. So let me describe what a typical day when our kids were little, how it went, what we thought about. And then I'm going to pick on a few things, and I hope it's okay. And I don't know where this came from, just thinking through today's talk, really. Man, this was hard to think about. I think it started in the late 90s, I think, because it's a fairly new thing historically in the world. This hasn't always been a thing. I'm thinking internet and this came on the scene pretty much at the same time, maybe late 90s, I don't know. Somewhere along the way, current generation of parents started believing that boredom was bad. And I'm here to tell you, and I'll hopefully be able to prove it to you here in a second, that your kids being bored is essential to them growing and having a relationship with the Lord. I actually believe that. I really do. Okay, let me take you back. And for guys, this typically, like if you've ever had like a mechanical problem, like you're trying to fix an engine or there's something you're building or whatever, and you've been frustrated and you've been working at it for days and you can't figure it out, you'll be in the shower, not even thinking about the problem, and then an idea will just hit you. You're like, oh, that's it, right? And then throughout my life, and especially in business now, like that's happened to me. Right? You get this idea, oh, that's the next thing to do. Or, man, I promise you, your shower, it's weird. Just because you're standing there wet doesn't do, like, why does that happen? Right? Well, I have a theory about that. Unscientific, not proven. I don't know of any study about this. But I think the reason many of us have an idea in the shower how to solve a problem, because I think that's giving God and our brains an opportunity to be creative without when we're not inputting something off a screen. I really think that's what it is. Like, I think it's giving our brains a connection to the Father and to what's in there, and creativity comes out of that. So there are scientific studies on this part that without boredom, without things coming into your brain in a constant way off a screen, it's almost impossible to be creative. Isn't that wild? So if you're always looking at something, if you're always being entertained, and you don't have any chance, right? When I was a kid, like, I'd hear sermons about quiet time or meditation or spending time with the Lord, and it was always this fuzzy thing. I was like, what does that look like? Or people said, I'm in my prayer closet. What? The airflow is terrible in my closet. Why would you want to hang out there? But, you know, they were trying to communicate something that spending time with the Lord intentionally, I think that's where he speaks to us. I think that's where creativity comes from. I think that's where we're able to solve problems, mechanical problems, physical problems. We're starting to notice things. Like that space that we as adults give ourselves, and right as you mature, most of us figure that out. Like it's super important. At least in my life, right, if I take that out, I start being pretty cranky. I start reacting to people. All of a sudden, the guy that cut me off in traffic, I've got thoughts about a guy I've never met before in my life who is probably a bad driver just like I am, you know? So as adults, we've got this figured out a little bit that God, we need space and time with him, and good things happen every single time we do that. Well, in kids, I think it's a lie that has crept in that says, our kids need to be entertained. They don't need to be entertained. They need a relationship. Amen. And that does mean at some times they're going to look at you, mom and dad, and they would like to watch something, or they would like to, right? So this is how me and Jen kind of combat this, is we are super intentional. The My Little Pony's Hot Wheels, that was just part of our never everyday. It really was, right? So when I came home from work, you know, and it's not like I would do that for 3.5 hours every evening with them, but we would, like 20, 30 minutes, an hour sometimes. And it wasn't every night, and it wasn't routine, and it wasn't on a schedule. It was just like, yeah. So sometimes we're playing in their world, right? Engaging with them, pretending with them, and doing that whole thing. And other times, I promise you, in this, it's just so much like Jesus, because I just want to be in his presence. And what I've learned is, even if Jacob was playing Hot Wheels in the same room as me, he just wanted to be in the same room. You know? Camille, she would be doing dances and performances, and I don't know how many plays I've seen, hundreds of plays, and she learned what jazz hands were and how to perform in big arms. Like, she was born like that. And we would just smile and clap. And so this is what it looks like in me and Jen's house. We've just learned to say everything we're thinking out loud. So if you're in our house, you'll think you're special. You know why? Because we're going to tell you 1,000 times how beautiful you are, how much you're loved, great job, that's a fantastic idea, we're with you. And believe me, constantly. Because I am trying to demo what it's like to have this relationship with the Father, because that's what he does with me. All day long. And I learned, just with like kids, they make mistakes all day long. I do too. And I learned that most of the time, I'm on that second half of that verse, advice and counsel. And then when our kids made a decision and actively messed up, sure, absolutely. We went through loving discipline. But we didn't live there. You know, like we just didn't. That wasn't where you spent your time. You spent your time, they should be excited when you walk in the room. Where's dad? Where's mom? Where do they come back to? Where were they? And eventually, like, we built in, we really did. Like, we built in our routines and we built in our kids. Like, it wasn't stressful. It wasn't. Now, we had our moments and Jen had her moments and it was hard sometimes. And kids go through phases. Like, that's all true. But I'm going to tell you, most of the time, our house is full of joy and peace and love. And do brothers and sisters always get along? No. And they learn. And I teach a little man how to respect a lady. And I teach a little young lady, how to give grace to her little brother. And we talk and we go through things. And it's just about relationship. And then we mix in people and places and things that reinforce the advice we want to give our kids. And it's a beautiful way to raise your kids in this community, right? Sales pitch for family night. It's a good place. And it just works. And what we learned, and I'll just be like extremely practical. Please hear my heart on this. I am not saying people are bad. I'm not saying. But what I am saying is, me and Jen were super intentional about looking at people's results. The Bible calls it fruit. So if they were going to be in our kids' lives in a way that gave them advice, we just are. So where their kids are, their marriages, their grandkids, their, like whatever the circumstances are, right? You know, it doesn't matter. But whatever results they have, or if they're not actively in this loop that I have on the screen between relationships and results, if that's not a part of their life, there's a really good chance that they're not going to have the opportunity to give my kids advice. So we talk through everything in our house. At whatever level we need to, with whatever level the kids are. So if the kids were at Walmart with Jen and they saw a dad screaming at mom and they get in the car and Camille says, "Why was he so angry?" We talk about it. And we talk about it in context of relationships and results. It's like, "Oh, Camille, man, that dad, he just doesn't know Jesus quite yet in that area, or he's frustrated or whatever." So we don't call the dad bad. We don't say he's evil. We don't say any of that stuff. We just say the truth, that was an area where that gentleman hasn't quite yet gone after this relationships and results category, right? So we participate in this world. We just don't bring it home with us, right? Does that make sense? Okay, so K counsel and advice. It's so interesting that the things that my kids remember now that they're a little older, and they say things sometimes funny to me, like, "Dad, you used to play." I was like, "Yes, I've got 300 hours with Thomas the Train with you on the floor. You don't remember a single, right?" I'm like, "Come on, that is terrible marketing. I can't get the song out of my head." So you guys get it, right? It's not about the thing we were doing. It was about my presence with my kids. They know I love them. They know I'm for them. They know I have good ideas for them. They come to me with questions. Like, our relationship really is a relationship. And I hope what you're hearing me say, and if that, as I'm describing this parenting thing, if that's not your view of your relationship with the Lord, I think that's something God wants to help fix. Okay. So something that my mom, Jen's mom, and Jen have all done with our kids, which is really funny, and I don't think any of them have really talked about this specifically, is we always bake cookies, or they would always bake cookies together. And I mean, as soon as the kids were old enough to, like, stand, that's when we start the cookie baking training, right? So step stool, not that the frozen stuff's not real, but I'm talking about real cookies, you know, where you start with, like, the white things and you mix them and, you know, baking. Okay, so, you know, with kids, it's flour everywhere and, you know, like, all this stuff. Okay, so making cookies, like, you're combining ingredients while having an inferno device in front of small children. It's a really interesting thing we did with our kids. Knives and things and, right, the kitchen is really not a safe place for kids. And then you have these devices that we call ovens and stovetops that can mess them up for their entire lives if they stick their little hands or face or feet or whatever they try to do, right? It's a very interesting environment to train a kid. But for whatever reason, we have done this a lot with our kids. So I would watch Jen. I have so many pictures. I even thought about showing them, but I just, you know, Camille, you're welcome. I didn't. So our kids, like, can you just imagine little Camille, right? Her little bitty hands, my little short little girl can barely, like, it was a maneuver just to get her to baking height. And then it was Jen, and every step, right? Mixing and taste testing and dumping the chocolate chips in and, you know, spending an hour to get the dough ready is, you know, and just the kitchen's destroyed, every mixing bowl's gone, right? And you drop stuff, there's at least 2 eggs lost in combat every time. And, like, and then sometimes you get a batch that you're eating eggshells and that's just part of it, right? Okay. But there's just, like, a really interesting thing that happens every time you're baking with kids. We have to give them advice in that process, right? And we don't use fear. We don't make them scared to death of the oven. We don't. It's just a tool, and it's hot. And we need them to learn how to be around an oven, how to respect it, how to pull the cookies in and out safely, how to pay attention to when you're pulling something that's hot out of the oven, when you turn, you need to make sure your little brother's not behind you, right? And then it matters what you set the cookies on, and you don't want to burn the counter or yourself. And I just have such a beautiful picture in my mind of when Jen would do that with the kids over and over and over again. And they would get a little bit better every time. And they would make the same mistakes, but different mistakes, right? like, oh, I almost forgot to get the little pot holder, or, oh, yep, I have to remember, I got to set it down gently, or, nope, I can't just turn and fly with the cookie sheet, I have to be careful. And then, you know, it's a pretty good picture of what a relationship looks like. And if your picture of God is all about fear and anger and talking about the oven the whole time, man, that's not the right picture. It's really not. Because when I'm baking cookies with my dad, it's about being in his presence. It's about listening to his counsel and his advice. It's about spending time with him. It's about connecting with him. It's about me telling him about my ideas and him listening and him giving me suggestions and me responding and going, oh yeah, that probably wasn't good. It's not about the oven. It's really not. When you're with your kids, it's easy to see, and I hope you'll hear me with your relationship with the Father too. Like, it's so awesome. Parents, I promise you, just look at your results. Like, if anxiety and depression and anger and like all that stuff is the main feelings you feel when you're in your own house, like, as soon as you decide to make a change and get God involved, I promise you that's the best decision you'll have ever made. Because as adults, we've tried it the other way, haven't we? Like, rules and fear, and sometimes that even turns to manipulation, trying to get people to do stuff, and like, right, like most of y'all would agree, like that never works, or never works for long. Eventually it quits working. So, man, with me and Jen, parents, just look at your routine, look at how you're spending your time. You know, right now looks a little bit different than when we were little. And I was going to tell this quick story about my dad. Like, so my dad has always worked 60, 70, 80 hours a week most of my childhood. He was always an entrepreneur, and whenever he wasn't trying to keep a business together or multiple businesses together, he was counseling or praying for people. And most of the time when people can meet, right, is after work. So my dad has spent, I don't know, a few thousand nights praying with people, helping them seek the Lord, and that's awesome. And I never felt like as a kid growing up that was a bad thing for us. So this is what we did in our house when I was little, is my dad would very often be gone in the evenings, but he would always come home. And I don't even know the times from a kid's perspective, who knows. But any night that he could pull it off, he would be home and he would tuck us into bed. And what that, for us in the Alford family, what that meant was dad would come home and sit in our room and spend, and sometimes it was 10 minutes, sometimes it was 20, sometimes I think it was an hour, but he wasn't gonna go to sleep without doing something with his boys. And usually what it was is he would read a story out loud to us, you know, and I could name off the books, but like Pilgrim's Progress, like just some fun, you know, sometimes they were Christian, sometimes they weren't, sometimes they were adventure, sometimes, you know, like it changed and in and out. But he would just read out loud a few pages sometimes. But I can promise you that somehow, even as a kid, I knew how special that was. In that it wasn't about the book or it wasn't about the, right? It was about being in his presence, right? And for that season of that time when we were growing up, like that was awesome. And then, you know, life changes and then I got to be able to where I could be with him and do work stuff and spend time with him in other ways. And that's what it looks like. Me and Jen, that's not what it looks like. We spend time with our kids super, super intentionally, family time, from like 6-ish to about like 7:30 or 8 maybe, right? Like we're we're even if it means we're in the same room watching a show together, are the TVs on? You know, I'm not saying that stuff doesn't happen in my household, but we're together. And we're talking, and we're laughing, and we're doing things. When the kids were little, we just made it about them, right? So we had fun, we engaged with them. But for me and Jen, what we did, like once 8 o'clock hit, we totally shift the game. Okay, guys, and when they were little, they went to bed at 8, but as they got older, it's like, hey, at 8 o'clock, we want you guys to be able to spend time, you know, with the Lord, reading books, doing your own thing in your room, and up until bed. So it looks even different than how me and my dad went and mom went through it versus my kids today. It can look a lot of different ways. The important thing is the goal. And the goal was relationship and doing it intentionally. I promise you guys, parents, grandparents, you guys being on the same page with what loving discipline looks like for you is like super important. But man, that counsel, that advice, that relationship piece, demoing what this relationship looks like with the Lord, man, that's everything. I have messed up so many times. Jen has messed up so many times. We've messed up together. We've had those moments where we just cry and look at each other. Honestly, it's like, how did that go so wrong? Like, we blew it, right? All of that happens in our lives. But man, our safety net is large and well padded and thick, because that the safety net every single time is going back to the Father. Gosh, God, like, I didn't want to respond in frustration and anger, and I did. It'd been a long week, lots of challenges, making a mistake, and I just expressed anger to my 7-year-old. I've done it. I've messed up. And I have to ask forgiveness. Sometimes to Jen, sometimes to the kids. But you know, the cool thing is, the kids, since we've demoed what that's like so many times, even our kids at a pretty young age learned that concept. That when you say you're sorry and that you forgive yourself or others, you make a change, right? You turn and you're really forgiven. It's okay. It's pretty cool. It's an awesome way to live. And as a parent, I didn't know that when I got started. I thought that discipline would be the biggest category you had to make sure you got right. It's important. Doing it lovingly, I learned a lot technique-wise. But the time that we're out of that other category, the advice category, the counsel category, man, that's where the challenge and the intentionality and the long-term relationships matter. Because the discipline is just a pinprick in the week, right? It's just a moment, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, right? Like, that would be a big discipline session with one of our kids at that age. Well, there's a whole lot more hours in the week outside of that. We get to demo the other parts. So this morning, I want to do something interesting. I don't know how this will go. We're going to give it a shot. We'll see. Can I get a couple of guys to move this table for me? Come on, shoot. Don't even mess with them. We're going to, like, do it in the middle to where we can gather around it. Okay? If everyone could stand up for me, if you would. And I thought about seeing if we could switch out the bread stuff with what's underneath this cloth for communion, and I got X-nayed on it. And it was James's idea. Okay, so what we have here is a plate full of an allergic, okay, gluten, nuts, things. I don't know what are in these, so please eat at your own risk if you've got something allergic. They're just good old chocolate chip cookies, and they're not healthy, and they're full of sugar and butter and things. Okay? Like, they're right where they're supposed to be. Okay? Here's what I'd like to do. If everyone could just close their eyes just for a quick second. And let's try to use those parts of our brain that sometimes we forget about as the years get added on and we become adults. I'm just going to pray real quick, just real fast, as your eyes are closed. So God, I just pray for your creativity and your love right now as we're going to give this a shot. So just with your eyes closed, if you would, to me, I have this picture in my mind. Could you imagine yourself in the kitchen with Jesus? In your bacon cookies? Like the flour and the eggs and the sugar and like everything's there. And he's looking down at you and smiling. And you're stirring and whisking and dropping things and making a big mess. And God's just looking at you, just smiling. And he's teaching you how to be careful as you're sliding the cookies in the oven. In the room, I don't know, I can just feel it, right? His love, what he thinks about you, how excited he is to spend time with you. But there is that hot oven, and he's gently reminding you, keeping you safe. And those cookies come out of the oven, and you get to sit on his lap, and you get to eat that cookie with him. Guys, that picture, I promise you, is what this relationship should feel and look like with him. And if you've got something inside of you that's fighting against that, right? That he's mad at you, or he's disappointed in you, or that sin, he's angry at it, and he's angry at you, but he's mostly angry at you, and it's full of shame and fear and all the other stuff that we're really good at doing to ourselves and judging ourselves. Like, if that's anywhere in there, I really think God wants to help you with that today. Because I really do believe, like, the picture of God and my relationship with him is just like bacon cookies. And man, my heart breaks for you if you've got an area in your life that's not like that. And a lot of us are at different places, and that's okay. Like, some of us are like, oh man, I've messed up with my kids. Our grandparents are thinking, oh, yep, messed that up a little bit. Or some of us are just thinking about our father and just like, oh, that's not the picture I have of him. And I don't have a bacon cookie kind of relationship with him. So this is a pretty wide range of stuff, I know. And this part might be a little goofy. And what I pictured in my mind this morning is, man, if that touched you a little bit, or something inside of you, whatever side of the equation you're on, or if it was just like, yep, I want a cookie. I'm good with any of that. If you're brave, if you will, I just felt like we could pray as a family together, and that in some of us, you know, we might just pray for each other a little bit too. But if you would, and if you want a cookie, can we just gather around this table together this morning as a family? If you want to. If you don't, that's okay. Yeah, eat the cookies. Shoot, don't leave them sitting there.
He's from the masquerade.
Yes.
Say they're all not free.
No, I'm not saying that. Camille just told me they don't have nuts in them, if that helps anybody out. Gluten? No, I think the gluten's there. No nuts. Jacob, did you just want a cookie?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Lucy can't have a cookie. What? Where's Katie? Can she have a cookie? See, I told you. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to pray, and we'll just see what this looks like. I'm not exactly sure. I just know there's something that's happening. And then, you know, if we had it pulled together, we'd like have a keyboard going and stuff, but she's serving a class. Hey, Matt, you up there? Hey, bro. Do you want to try to play some Muzak? Okay, if you can. But I'm just going to pray, and then I feel like some of us have some real pain inside this morning, like something was pricked. And I don't know, guys, I just know every time I bake with my dad, something good happens. And so some of us might want a few of us to pray for you, and I think that's good. Some of us might just didn't need to eat 13 more cookies, and that's good. I just want to give this a shot, and I hope that this week, in a real practical sense, that you get to spend some time with Jesus baking cookies this week. Make some time for it. Make some time with your family. The oven's there. I know it's there. But I want it to look a whole lot more like Jesus than talking about fear and all that stuff, right? So that's what I want to try to do. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll just go from there, and we'll see. So, God, I am beyond grateful for our relationship. Man, it's everything. God, you came down from heaven to hang out with us, to be in a relationship with us. God, thank you so much for that. God, and I'm just collectively as a group, God, we're just saying we want to bake cookies with you today, God. We really do. We want to be right beside you. We want your hands right next to us. And when we look up at you, gosh, I want to see your smiling face. God, we just love you. And I love my daughter. And my mom. This is good. So here's what I'd like to do. You guys are absolutely released. Hit the buffets. And those of you that do want to like just spend a minute, or like if there's something, I just don't want to end the day. Like if there's something inside, right, that if that's hard to go from baking cookies to like to look up to his face, like if that's hard for you, to trust, to love, to know that's good, like what we'll do is we'll leave the cookies in the center so that hopefully they're all gone in a few minutes. But like if you want prayer or just want to hang out for a while, we'll just hang out. We'll just go to the side, just on the side. We'll just stay up here together for a while. And then, man, thank you guys for letting me do this. It's really fun. You guys have a fantastic Sunday. And Dad wants to say something.
As Daniel was talking, I was like, if there's something you're sorry for and it's just not going away, that's something Jesus wants to touch today. Like, you know what I'm talking about. If you're sorry for something and it's not going away, he wants to take that burden away. He